When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about the Afrocentric school debate. Could it be that the Afrocentric school system is actually a success? We'll tell you about it next. It's Friendly Fire, Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
John Downs on News Talk 1010.
If you want to interact with the show, you can text us, as many of you have tonight, and we appreciate that, at 71010. You can give us a call at Star Talk, Star 8255. In just a few minutes' time, we're going to talk about why educational segregation seems to be working in the province of Ontario. Yeah, we segregate people now based on race in our school system, and it actually is being touted as a success. We will get to the bottom of that in just a few minutes. Well, I mean, that's the gist of it, no? We do take people who, based on their ethnicity or their race, and put them in different schools because of who they are.
We don't take them and put them there.
They volunteer, but I mean, it's segregation still.
Well, it's not really segregation if you're doing it voluntarily. If so, it's voluntary segregation.
Right, and I still don't think that's healthy, but...
Well, yeah, you're a little misleading in the way you're setting this up, I'm just saying. Just saying.
Are you going to correct me all night?
That's pretty much what I do. There's a lot of corrections.
You try to.
There's a lot of corrections to be
had. I find your attempts to be feeble at times.
Feeble.
You try nonetheless. The issue of Afrocentric school is back in the news. And this is one of those stories that I think kind of goes a little stealth every now and then. Flies under the radar. Not many people pay attention to it. And then it just ignites into a storm. And people start to discuss it. And everybody gets angry. But there is a big meeting that is going on, I believe, this evening tonight at 5050 Yonge Street, which is the TDSB headquarters.
Tomorrow, I think. Is it tomorrow? Wednesday?
Wednesday. I'm sorry. Yes, it is tomorrow at 7 p.m. And Afrocentric schooling is going to be on the table. But this time it's going to be about Afrocentric high schools. And in the Globe and Mail today, they say, with the success of Afrocentric primary schools, which opened in the fall of 2009, supporters are looking to grow the program by opening a secondary school. The idea was introduced last spring. The community attached to the potential host school, Oakwood Collegiate, was so appalled that the idea was quickly dropped. The elementary school was envisioned as a way to help black students, of course, within the TDSB, which are amongst the most likely to live in poverty, and 40% of them dropped out. They're trying to fix all that with this idea of schooling, and now they're trying to extend it to the high school level.
And you have a problem with this?
I've had a problem with it since the beginning, but...
Was anything going to change your mind?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I am going to tell you how I stand on this, John. If the school works, and according to Royce and James today in The Star, according to the Globe and Mail, their statistics say that these kids are now overachievers. They're outproducing other elementary school kids. These kids are reading and writing, solving math problems at standards above the city and the provincial average. If that all is true, and I trust Royce and James at The Star, and I trust what the Globe and Mail says, if that all is true, then fine. I think that it's a good idea and probably a project that you should look to push ahead in high school. Fundamentally, though, I still have a problem with the idea of separating people based on race and then you know, putting them in different buildings, different schools, and saying, here, you're going to be with these people and just these people your entire life growing up. I think socially, that's bad for the kid, but if they can prove academically it's good for the kid, then it might not be such a bad idea. So I'm not saying I'm on the fence on it. I just have two different feelings on it, if that's possible.
Yeah, what's kind of interesting, though, in terms of the justification being used to declare this a success, there is no indication that these kids who are in the Afrocentric elementary school wouldn't have been just as successful.
That's a great point.
In their own, or in a regular school, I guess you could say. So I'm not ready to credit the Afrocentric system for, you know, making these kids really smart or making these kids really academically successful. That being said, there is clearly demand for this.
Also to your point, if these parents are the ones that are standing up and saying, my kid should be in an Afrocentric school, these are also parents that are taking an interest in their child's education right out of the gate.
Right.
Not every kid in community X, Y, or Z it has a parent that's doing that, and you might not see those kind of results if some of those kids decided to enter these schools.
Yeah, I mean, if there's demand, I don't have a huge issue with it. However, I am not convinced. I don't think any evidence has been provided that this type of education is providing a massive benefit to anybody. And where are the kids who were going to be perhaps marginalized and may have dropped out in the future? Are those kids still in a regular school? Because if so, this program isn't doing them any good.
Well, in 60 seconds, we're going to meet somebody who has a big problem with it, and so much so that he's written an open letter to the premier, Dalton McGuinty, asking the premier to intervene. We'll come back and meet that individual next. It's Friendly Fire, Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, Newstalk 1010. It's 8:15. In-Depth Radio, Newstalk 1010, Ryan Doyle, John Downs here on Friendly Fire. Of course, you can check us out online at newstalk1010.com. We're talking tonight about Afrocentric schools. This time, the secondary school option is going to be weighed tomorrow night at the TDSB at 7 o'clock. They're going to talk about it. First time around, didn't get a warm reception. Paul McKeever is the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario. And Paul, you've got a bit of a different take on all of this.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. I mean, in the reports we're seeing in the newspaper, we're told that these schools are excelling. But if you actually go on to the EQAO website, you'll find that they will not report the results from that school because the number of people taking the test is lower than 15, and there's a risk that the identities of the children will be made public. So I'm not sure where they're getting their data since it's not publicly available. That aside, I think John's right. Just because they're in this school does not mean that accounts for the fact that the racial curriculum is accounting for the fact of their brilliance or their performance. These might be just smart kids with good teachers. The real problem here is that race is being used to tell children that their race, in a sense, has something to do with their value, their potential, and et cetera. If someone looking like you in the past has achieved something and it was good, then you should somehow feel good about that. If they did something bad, by implication, well, you should be ashamed of yourself because you share that phenotype. It's a horrible thing to be saddled with, and it's not what we should be promoting in a public school system. We should be promoting the idea that the potential is limitless, that nobody is limited by the color of their skin, by the shape of their features, and that everybody is capable of whatever they choose to study, whatever they choose to investigate and learn and perform. This idea is being promoted ultimately as a way to make race, have children look at themselves as members of racial collectives, whether they're black, white, Asian, you name it. The idea is to say, I'm a member of this collective, you're a member of that collective, and the end game is, if one collective has less income or doesn't have as many higher percentage of the CEO positions, you can then say, well, clearly then the reason that I don't have as much income or our group doesn't have as much income is because of racism or discrimination. And that is the game that's being played by the socialists so that they can then call for things like, quotas on hiring, redistribution of wealth, and et cetera.
Now, Paul, see, that's where I'm not buying it. I mean, if you could be convinced that this was actually a successful program and did help allow African-Canadian kids or black kids to excel where they otherwise might, would you have much of a problem with it?
Well, I just find there's no evidence for that.
There isn't now, but I'm saying if you could be convinced of that, would you still be off-put by the idea simply because of what it represents?
What the question, and I'm not saying anything derogatory about you, John. I'm just saying that ultimately embedded in the question is this. If racism could help people learn, would I be against it? Yeah, I would. I think that this is a racist thing to tell people that their race matters, that they should be studying math and English and everything else through a racial lens, looking at it as though the historical figures, the people who came up with the knowledge of the past, the heritage of all human knowledge, that the person who invented something happened to have skin of one color or another, hair color of one, as if that's relevant. If that is helping performance, then there's something wrong with the mindset. If people are getting off on that, are getting sparked to learn because of racism.
Can black people be racist against themselves? Because ultimately, it's black parents deciding to put their black children into this program.
The mistake is to think that racism is always against the other. Racism simply means that you see yourself not as an individual, but as a member of a collective defined by race. That is the essence of racism, and then that ultimately lends itself to people saying, therefore, we should use force to discriminate against someone, or we should discriminate against someone because of their membership in a collective. That's what the white racists did. That's what the black racists are doing. That's what every form of racism is trying to do, put people into a cubbyhole that says, you're not on your own, you're stuck in this group, but don't worry, we're going to make sure that each group gets an equal share of the pie, regardless of individual achievement.
Oh, yeah, and I must say, I'm always a big fan of having academia, whether it's, you know, primary school or secondary school, reflect that of the working world. I know that sounds goofy, but we don't segregate in our workplace. We don't have all black workplaces and all white workplaces, assuming that people are going to get by and do better at work because of what their skin type is. I don't think we should be doing it in the school
system. We divide people by gender, and a lot of people don't have a problem with that.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that one too, John. I've struggled with that. But, you know, the difference I think there is when we put girls and boys into separate schools, we're not saying this is a school that says that your girlhood or your boyhood is an essential part of who you are and it makes you better than or different than boys or the opposite sex and that each deserves an equal share of the pie according to their group. We don't say that. We simply say you're all individuals, you happen to be female, or you're all individuals, you happen to be male, and the reasons we're separating them are entirely different. You know, the literature on Afrocentrism, for example, is rife with the word collective, collective thought, member of the collective. It's about collectivism, and it's about breaking Canada into racial collectives so that we can have this infighting, so that we don't look at each other as human beings, but as black human beings, or white human beings, or Asian human beings. It's destructive, and it really undermines what it means to have a Western a society where every individual is seen as equal, on an equal footing, as a human being, not as a human being of a certain type or another.
Paul, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Paul McKeever, leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario.
I'm not sure it's as deliberate as he is proclaiming, but ultimately we have to decide whether or not this actually works, and if it does, do we move forward with it? Or do we say, you know what, it's just kind of sick the way we set this up, whether it's effective or not. We can't separate people like this. We'll take your calls, Star Talk, Star 8255. You can send us a text to 71010. Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
When you need to feed your brain, we've got a buffet of mind-stimulating stuff. Pull up a chair and dig in. Friendly Fire with Ryan Doyle and John Downs on In-Depth Radio.
Some of the universities that are quoted by Royce and James in the Toronto Star: Morgan State, Howard University, Spelman College, Scholastic Giants, he refers to them as, in the issue of Afrocentric schooling. Those are some of the big names, John.
Did you say Spelman?
Spelman College, yeah.
I think that was actually mentioned in Different World. Remember the spinoff to The Cosby Show?
I do, as a matter of fact, yes.
No, it was Hellman.
No, it was probably Spelman.
No, but Hellman was where Denise went, remember?
Thanks.
And that's where she met Lenny Kravitz.
Later, we're going to be doing the complete works of Kadeem Hardison. And what are you talking about? Well, does everything have to go back to television from the 1980s with you?
Everything does go back to television in the 90s. That's where civilization started, right?
All right. He also says, please don't. He says, the magic is this. Students thrive when they are sure about themselves, when they see themselves through prisms of success, when significant adults place on them high levels of expectation. Ali, go ahead.
Hi. I'm very surprised that the individual that you had considers himself right-leaning, because I'm a right-wing libertarian, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that we have competing schools in our system, that if parents decide to choose that they want a different school for their children to go to, that they have that choice. And the fact that this is being mixed up with collectivism and socialism and the likes, this is far from it. In order for, you know, so collectivism and socialism is exactly what that previous gentleman was purporting, that we should all come together under the great Marxist scheme. I like the fact that there is choice out there. I think we should have more choice.
But it shouldn't be choice based on race.
Well, to be honest with you, they have not rejected anyone who is not black. And I asked about this.
But we know that the curriculum is majorly focused on that of an Afrocentric nature, so you'd have to ask the question as to why you'd want anybody else going there.
well, that is fine. If whoever wants to go there, as long as they have the option to go there, I think it's fantastic. If it does prove that the students that graduate from those particular schools are indeed getting higher test results, are indeed becoming very productive members of society, you know what? The free market will say, hey, you know what? I'm going to send my students, I'm going to send my kids to that school as well.
John,
I don't really care that if they're teaching Afrocentric, from an Afrocentric.
All right, John, what your thoughts on the free market education
philosophy? Well, this is the thing, is that education has nothing to do with the free market in this country. It's not supposed to. There's supposed to be a standardized form of education for everybody. That being said, if there are certain types of education that are, how would you say it? Specialized, I guess, for certain groups. Even if those groups happen to be along racial lines, is that necessarily a bad thing when push comes to shove? To pretend that we're all the same is kind of just a joke. Although I don't buy Royce and James's argument comparing us to the states, because we're not the states. They have a significantly higher black population in the states. So where I think you can actually justify this a little more.
When we come back, we're going to tell you how one sign on your front door could save your life. That's coming up next. It's Friendly Fire, Ryan Doyle, John Downs, In-Depth Radio, Newstalk 1010.